Men of God, arise as a PPK, priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family. The king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join me, Apostle Gerald Benton, as I encourage, lead, and teach men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a priest, prophet, and king.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon. Whenever you actually listen to this, as you can see the title, I thank God for my freedom. And I really don't normally do this. My wife prayed this morning in regards to my freedom. And as she was praying and I was walking, and God started talking to me just about my freedom. And I was like, well, God, I don't usually go behind her and do anything after her. So isn't that normal? I'm having a conversation with God because it's not something that I normally do. And so I was like, whoa. And then he gave me the scripture, Exodus 9 and 13. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. So God started to showing me that he put this mandate on my wife to pray for me. So every Tuesday, she rises up early in the morning and she goes to praying for me. And when she's speaking to the enemy. Huh? Pharaoh was the enemy. So she's speaking to the enemy, telling them to let my husband go. You're going to let my husband go. He's not going to be bound by circumstance. He's not going to be bound by addiction. He's not going to be bound by lust and perversion. All of these, years of every morning waking up. Every Tuesday morning waking up early and praying for me. And now there's other people that wake up early to assist and come in agreement with her in these prayers. But it started with, you're going to have to let my king go. You're going to have to let my husband go. You're going to have to let this man of God go. You're not going to just hold him in bondage. And so God started talking to me about it. And when I got the scripture, I was like, whoa, she wakes up early in the morning on Tuesday mornings to pray for me, to literally declare to the enemy, you're gonna let my husband go. You're gonna let my husband go. And so God says, I started to thinking, and he was asking me, Gerald, what does your freedom feel like?
I pray that y'all catch this.
What does your freedom feel like? Listen, when I was bound for so long being in the, being in the church and still being bound. People
think that because you go to church, you can't be bound, right? You shouldn't be bound, because that means you're actually living in a carnal place. You're trying to really be into the world, but you're still trying to, it's a process of becoming a new creature, right? So you're trying to become new. So there's things that are trying to pull you, keep you in your past, to keep you in the old you. But God is like, I'm trying to reintroduce you to the new you, the one that I knew in your mother's womb, the one that I created, the one that I formed. I'm trying to reintroduce you to that person. That's the person. That's the authentic you. This thing that you, circumstances that you done been in, that have caused you to have a false identity, that have caused you to be bound, and you can't experience freedom. You don't know what freedom looks like, because it just seems like it's part of your character and your personality, and you can't tell the difference. That's why the Israelites, when they got out, they went through the Red Sea and they got into the, they still complained, because they didn't understand what freedom felt like. They didn't understand what freedom felt like. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying. I didn't understand what freedom was feeling like until I truly got truly free. And it was the process of renewing my mind daily. Because see, you gotta really think, and you gotta put into your mind that you're free. Because if you're not free in your mind, here we go. As a man thinketh, so is he in his heart. So if you're not thinking about being free in your mind, then you're not gonna walk in freedom. right? Because your mind is into a bondage place, because your thinking is worldly, and your thinking is the things that you did in the past, and you're still acting on those things. But when you start to decide to say, okay, I got to renew my mind daily. It's not just I'm going to renew my mind on Monday, and then I ain't going to have to do it all the rest of the week. That's a lie, because the enemy is crafty. The enemy is subtle. He is doing things to keep you in bondage that you don't even know you're still in bondage. When you start realizing that the things that you can you've been doing for so long, and then God starts to reveal them to you that they're wrong, now you have to go through a process of really stripping yourself, stripping your mind. That's why the scripture says, you know, evaluate me, you know, Lord, search me. If there's anything in me that's not like you. Sometimes we don't. I know for a long time I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to ask that question because I didn't want to hear what God was going to actually say. It could have been your language. It could have been your facial expressions. It could have been your thinking. It could have been your habits. It could have been your lifestyle. It could have been any of those things. And if I wasn't ready, listen to what I'm saying. If I wasn't ready to really and truly walk away from it, then I'll just stay in this place of bondage. And year after, put it this way, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, that same thing becomes stronger because it starts to form into your character and your personality. And then you can't even tell the difference because you can't understand freedom. Scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So when Jesus came and died on the cross for me, I had to listen. I know that scripture. I was knowing that scripture for a long time, but was I embracing the scripture of understanding that Jesus died on the cross for me? For me, not saying that he ain't down the cross for you, but I had to take it personal. I was never taking it personal. I was just looking at it like, oh yeah, he died on the cross for everybody. No. You have to take it personal because you want personal deliverance. You want personal freedom. So I had to literally change the way I was thinking about that scripture. God, you love me so much that you'll send your son to pay the price for me personally. That he died on the cross, that he literally died on the cross for me. His blood allows me now to be washed as white as snow, right? And 3 days later, he rose up. So he gave me resurrection power to be able to walk out my freedom, walk out of bondage. Walk out of the slavery, walk out of bad habits, walk out of drugs, walk out of lust, walk out of perversion, walk out of deception, walk out of lying, walk out of hurt, walk out of trauma, walk out of rejection, abandonment, all of those things, being able to walk out. I'm talking about truly being set free. But the enemy will keep you blind to it. So I come today to remove the scales off of your eyes that you can actually see the process of freedom and what it looks like when you got people praying for you. They praying for your freedom. They praying for you to be set free. They're praying for you to walk in deliverance. They're praying for you to walk upright. They're praying for you to walk out of the dead places in your life. They're praying for you. God is sending people that will go before the enemy and open their mouth and declare, let my husband go. Let my children go. Let my spouse go. Let my wife go. Let my family go. Let my bloodline go. I'm tired of sickness. I'm tired of sickness, infirmities killing my bloodline. Dying, Molech, the spirit of Molech, in premature death, dying early. The devil is a lie. Let my people go. Who's going to stand? Who's God waking up early in the morning and putting a burden on your heart? Thank you, Yvette Benton. Thank you, Apostle Yvette Benton, for waking up every Tuesday morning for years to get on and pray for me. When you call my name, Gerald Eugene Benton Jr., I know. That hits me deep down in my spirit. It hits me in my soul. My soul starts. This is several soul ties. Her assignment is to help me be free. Thank you, God, for giving her the strength to do it every day, every week, to do it every week. Not that she don't pray for me every day, because she does. But she does corporately every week with other people. That she will put that on her. I want you to help train other people to be that bold, to go before the enemy and say, let my people go. Because they're going to serve me. Their job is to serve the Lord. They're no longer going to be serving you. They're no longer going to be bound. They're no longer going to be in bondage. They're no longer going to be in deception. They're no longer going to be in trauma. They're no longer going to be in hurt. They're no longer going to be in despair. They're no longer going to be in infirmity. They're no longer going to be in death, hell, and the grave. They're no longer going to operate in a dead place. I come today to wake you up. For your eyes to be open. For you truly to be set free. So I thank God for my freedom. I thank God for my freedom every day. Every day that I can wake up and see another day that he has made. And I plan on rejoicing and be glad in it. I'm rejoicing because I'm glad I'm free. If you know how long I was bound. And you know what bondage feels like. My God, you can't breathe. Bondage keep you in depression. It keeps you in a negative place. It keeps you in a woe is me. It keeps you in a place where you always a victim. You can't see light. You can't see winds. You can't see. I'm trying to tell you. But when you start feeling freedom, when you start being able to breathe, when you start being able to see the small things that God is doing in your life. When you can see that you're no longer addicted to the very things that had you bound for all of your life. Last week, I did a thing on deception. I realized that deception was really and truly a bondage and keeping people bound for so long. Because they deceived that they thinking that they don't have to do certain things, that they don't have to live a certain life. That they can go to church on Sunday and go to church on Wednesday, but on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they can live any kind of way. You can't do that. That's bondage. That ain't freedom. Because you know the scripture. And you ain't living the scripture, you still in bondage. Just because you know the scripture. And if you ain't living it, what are you doing with it? God is trying to set his people free. He's trying to set his people free. So I come to you today understanding this. I work on my deliverance all the time. I'm never going to sit here and stand before you and say, I'm good or I got this. I'm in a process in getting delivered. And staying delivered every day. I work on it. I work on my mind. I work on my heart. I work on my thoughts. I work on my speech. I work on my hearing. I work on the way I see things, the way I hear things, the way I respond to things. I have to constantly work. I'm like, God. But for so long, I was bound in those areas. I only saw what I wanted to see. I only heard what I wanted to hear. I only thought what I wanted to think. I wanted to feel what I only wanted to feel. I didn't have compassion. I didn't have grace. I couldn't see the hope of my calling. I couldn't hear the whispers of the Lord. I could not. I wasn't functioning in the things that God has called for me to function in. I wasn't doing that. I'm just saying. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about freedom. And God is literally asking people, would you stand in a gap? Would you be the one that'll go before the enemy and say, and be bold about it and say, let my people go? Will that be you? Will you do that? Do you have that in you? Yes, you have it in you, because God has given you the assignment to do it. You can do it. So I thank Yvette Benton for every Tuesday morning waking up early, because I see the scripture that literally solidifies what she's doing for me. And I embrace it. And I come to you to give you hope that, listen to me, hey, let me tell you something. When she started doing it, it was a process. There were still layers of deliverance that I had to go through. There were still things that I still go through that I still need. I need prayer for that. She still prays for me, that the Holy Spirit gives us. Y'all think sometimes she asks me what those what the targets are, and then sometimes Holy Spirit gives them to them. And when Holy Spirit gives them to them, it be the exact prayer that I actually need at that moment. So you spending time with Holy Spirit, asking Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm supposed to be praying? What is it that I'm supposed to be declaring? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Because God is literally calling people forth to get before the enemy and let him know with boldness, not going up to him and say, okay, would you please let my husband go? Would you please let my children go? No, 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 no. With some boldness, with some tenacity, with some focus, with some fire, with some hot heat, bring it at him. Because if it was somebody that was doing something to you in the natural, you will go at them in the natural. Yeah, I hear people like, yeah, man, don't get me twisted. Yes, I'm saved now, but I ain't always been saved. So don't push me into another place. And say, I don't ever want to go back to that place. So I'm going to give you what God has placed in me, the new me. So I'm not going to give you the place or the attention that I have to actually do any of that. Because that's what the enemy wants you to see. That's what the enemy wants you to do. And when you give an excuse like that, then that gives you, the devil is a legalist. He used that very thing that you said, and now he'll entice people to put you in to try you to get you into that place. So you got to be very careful of what you're saying. Because I used to say it, and I used to get tried at it all the time. Until I had to renew my mind. I had to think about what I was actually saying and why I was giving the enemy a legal access to trying me. Don't give the enemy a legal access to try you. Listen, this is about freedom. I want you to be free. God wants you to be free. He sent his son for freedom. He sent his son for you to be free. Free from sin. Free from the trauma. Free from the hurt. Free from the past. I mean, free. And when you taste freedom, I'm telling you, it is the best feeling and the best taste. It's the best thing that you could ever have, especially when you've been in bondage for so long. Man, have you ever been in a place where you feel like you just can't make it? It's like, God, how in the world am I constantly in this cycle? How do I keep getting here? How do I keep being? Because there's a cycle of bondage. The Israelites, listen, when they got to the thing, when they got to the Red Sea, I mean, they was going off on Moses. You got us here so we can die, so they can kill us. You just da-da-da. I mean, just all of that. And I'm paraphrasing, but you know how people get. You're right. You got me here doing all of this stuff, and it ain't working. You talking about pray, and my prayers ain't working. Your heart ain't right. You praying, but your heart ain't right. You ain't praying that your heart is in the right place. Your heart is lining up with God's heart. Your desires is God's desires. You trying to pray to get something, but God's saying, I'm trying to pray for you so you can be out of bondage, so you can help somebody else be set free. You ain't free yourself, but you want to free somebody else. But until you get free, you can't free nobody else. Because you don't have the capacity to be able to do it. Just saying. So as we take this journey, we're asking God to search us. Search us, O Lord. Search my mind. Search my heart. Search my soul. Search every aspect of me. And if you find anything that is not like you, can you please remove it as far as the east is from the west? Can you please allow me to see it and allow me to open my mouth and sever the ties with it? I sever the ties with a perversion, lust, a masturbation, drugs, perversion, lying, cheating, adultery, all of those things. Sever the ties to them. The user spirit, sever the ties, witchcraft, sever the ties to it. Entitlement. That's a big one. And some people naive to the fact that they feel entitled to do what they're doing. I feel entitled to be able to feel this way because you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know. And then you put your mouth on them. Now you got to go back and renounce those negative words that you spoke over somebody's life. But you thinking that things are just going to get, you don't actually put yourself in bondage and put somebody else in bondage as well. That's why God is always, God talks about forgiveness. You know, if you can't forgive, how you want God to forgive you? Some of us in bondage ain't been set free from the spirit of unforgiveness. And you'll feel entitled that you should be able to be unforgiven because of what someone is doing. Scripture says, pray for them that despitefully use you. You still got to pray for them. Knowing that they mistreating you, knowing that they using you, knowing that they're not treating you right, you still got to pray for them. But you gotta get your heart right to actually do it. But you're still in bondage, trying to pray for somebody, and you haven't even worked on the process of having the right heart to go into the thing. So I thank God, and I'm saying all of this because this was me. Pray for my wife, man. I didn't even like my wife. Listen, I didn't like my wife, but I had to pray for my wife. Now I enjoy praying for my wife because I'm free. I'm free from the trauma. I'm free from the hurt. I'm free from the disappointment. I'm free from the anger. I'm free from that. Now, I can't act like that stuff ain't around the corner waiting to come back, because there are times when we have a heated fellowship and I get upset and I'm like, man, but I understand now I need it. God, get my heart right. Because I know my heart can go into a bad place real quick. So I have to ask God to work on my heart quickly. God, oh, work on my heart. Don't allow any penetration of what would just happen to get into my heart. I don't want to be callous. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to get a hard heart towards my spouse. I'm not toward the one that you entrusted me with. Not the one that you told me that this is the one that is to help me, that is to assist me, that is to show me how this thing. Man, come on. The very help that God has given me, now I'm trying to ruin it. I did that too long. I did that. It's time to come out of that, y'all. For real. Men, listen. You listen. You get in an argument. I'm talking to men right now. You get in an argument with your spouse, right? Heated fellowship. I ain't saying an argument. Heated fellowship. I call it heated fellowship because we still having to have communication. But the communication, it gets a little hot. Right? It gets a little hot. So I don't want to say you get into an argument, then you just argue. Rah, rah, rah. That's worldly stuff. I want to say fellowship, because you still got to be able to think about it in a different way. You got to approach it in a different way, especially when you're getting ready to have communication, period. Right? So, you know, we get into this situation and God's saying, I need you to relax. I don't want you to respond that way anymore. So now I'm having to reprogram the way that I have these heated fellowships. I have to reprogram myself. Literally, I have to reprogram myself. I can't just go into it and just be mad and walk away from it. And now the enemy working on, look at her. See, she thinks she know everything. She's sitting there trying to tell you what to do. Man, listen here. I used to think like that so much. Then I started calling my wife a fault finder. Right now I'm putting another label on my wife. So listen to me now. I'm talking about trying to walk, get yourself set free and stop being in bondage, because you literally putting your own self in bondage when you actually do these things, but you don't even know that you're actually doing it, because my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And if you don't actually know that you're putting yourself in this situation, then you stay in this situation and then you find yourself in bondage. And now when you find yourself in bondage, you find yourself in cycles. That means the bondage is trying to keep you in a reoccurring cycle that you never ever get out of. Day after day, year after year, you're still in that cycle. Why? Because you haven't identified that you're actually in a cycle. So when you're having these heated fellowships, you got to make sure that you're understanding the words that's coming out of your mouth. So you might want to pause for a minute. Like, no, I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to say that. Because if I say that, then I'm giving the enemy a legal right to actually do what I'm actually saying. Now, that can go both ways. You get in a heated fellowship, or you get into it, and then you actually say something that you really didn't mean to say, but it's been sitting in your mind for so long because you never pulled it down and you never got rid of it. You were just holding it for the opportune time to actually say it, and the enemy giving you the opportune time to actually say it, and then you say it, and then all of a sudden the reaction that you was hoping for or wasn't hoping for that you end up getting, and then now the situation goes from a 1 to 100 quickly by one thing that you said. Oh, that's how you feel? You know how you roll your head. That's how you feel? Yeah, that's how I feel. Now, you felt like you was entitled to actually say that because you were in a heated fellowship. Spirit of entitlement. You felt like you was entitled to do that. What about holding your peace? What about be slow to speak and quick to listen? What about that? What about that scripture? Because there are scriptures that'll help you in that situation. But we only use them when we need them or when we're not in the situation and we can quote it. But the enemy makes you forget about it when you're in a situation, a heated fellowship. He makes you forget about it because he doesn't want the Holy Spirit to remind you of the word. So you feel like you're entitled to say what you're saying because the person has said something or done something that made you upset. I'm helping somebody because I'm the thing is, thank God that I'm free, that I got some freedom. And today, God is like, I want you to be free. I want you to be free from these little small things that are literally was a thing that held me locked up. And man, when you have these hot, bad conversations, you know how you get. I can sit here and tell me, act like you don't, because I know you do. I deal with men way too much. And I have way too many conversations with them for me to not sit here and say, I know what goes on. I know what you're thinking. Because if I did a poll, I can come up with a whole bunch of things that men deal with when a heated conversation comes about. I promise you, if you're coming out a heated conversation, if I had 10 men that had a heated conversation and I say at the end, did you pray for them? Man, I might get one. Might. Or a spouse. You get in a heated fellowship. At the end, are you going to pray for them? Are you going to pray about that situation? Man, that's still something that I work on. But I just walk away, and then I come back, and then I have to think about the conversation. I have to think about where I went wrong, and I think about my wife's perspective, because here's the thing that I had to deal with. I asked God, God, help me to see my wife's perspective. Because I was blind to her perspective. I didn't even want to hear her perspective because I've always felt like it wasn't never for me. It was always against me, but it really wasn't. It was always to help me, but I could not see it. My eyes wasn't free to be able to see what she was saying. My ears was not able to, I wasn't free to be able to hear what she was saying to me. They were bound. I had it was the deaf and dumb spirit, right? You know, I was deaf to her voice. I was deaf. I didn't even want to hear her talk. Every time she would talk, it was like, womp, 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 womp. Until I got delivered, until I got set free. And then I could actually hear her perspective. My heart wasn't hard to her voice. The spirit of offense was now being crushed. Because every time she would talk, I would feel offended. If she would say, can we talk? No, I don't want to talk. Because I know I'm going to be offended. I already know I was going to be offended until I got delivered from the spirit of offense. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about freedom. I'm talking about me. Once again, you know, this is therapy session to me. And people are like, why are you always talking about therapy session? Because when I get to talk about it, I really and truly, it's another layer of deliverance for me. It's another layer of freedom for me. So yes, I get to tell you how I felt. I get to tell you what I did. You can take it or not. It is what it is. But I'm telling you where I struggled. I'm telling you where I got set free. I'm telling you where my freedom come up. I'm telling you what we did in our marriage. I'm telling you, I'm wide open to it. The spirit of deception, the spirit of entitlement, the lying spirit, the using spirit, the adultery, the fornication, the lust and perversion, all of this drunkenness and alcohol, all of that stuff had me bound. And I was not set free. It was way over 10 years. This stuff started when I was a kid. Deception, I was bound by a lying spirit as a kid. Just lying as a kid. You're talking about growing up with that spirit of a liar, and a liar becomes a user. A user become a deceiver. And now you truly living the life of a lying person, and you're going to talk about you a son of God. Man, open your eyes to who you really are. You think you free. You free as a quote unquote, the world will look at it, but you ain't free in the kingdom. You're not free to do what God is calling for you to. How are you free? That thing woke me up. When I say scales removed off of my eyes, I'm like, man, I'm sitting here learning all these scriptures. I'm learning all this stuff, going through deliverance. You know how long I went through deliverance? I went through deliverance so many times, y'all. I went through deliverance so many times, but I didn't understand that once I got delivered, I had to stay delivered. I had to stay delivered. I'm sitting there getting a sample of freedom, and then I go back and pick up bondage. I go back and pick up that sin. And you know, the scripture says that you know, when they go away, when them demons leave and they get cast out, you know, they come back with seven demons worse than them. Can I tell y'all, I was walking around like legion, like it. I couldn't even realize what all I was dealing with. So I was not set free, but I was going to church. Listen to me. I was going to church. I was listen, how you free? If you can go to church, preach, and then walk out of the church and go into a dope house, where's that freedom? Or time out, you might not do that. You might not go to the dope house, but you might curse. You might be nasty to people. You know how they be talking about nice, nasty? What's nice, nasty? Ain't no nice, nasty. You nasty. That's just like somebody saying it's a little sin. Or it's a little white lie. A lie is a lie. A sin is a sin. It's the world that wants you to look at it as little or it's not that bad, or it is that bad. That's carnal. That's lukewarm. You get spilled out. He spits that out. He said, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold. You got to choose. I chose freedom. And my walk to put freedom is still a walk. It's still a journey. It's still hard. It still takes work. I'm not sitting here telling you, oh, I'm just free. Oh, freedom and freedom. But listen, I work on freedom every day. Freedom in my mind. Freedom in my heart. Freedom in my spirit. Freedom in my soul. Freedom. I work on it. So I come to encourage you and give you some hope. That you too, if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to day by day, situation by situation, get better, then freedom is yours. God sent his son for you to be free. Free from sin. He died on the cross for you. He shed blood to cleanse you. Cleanse your whole bloodline. He wants you to be free. Do you want to be free? You can say you want to be free, but are you putting in the work? Are you exemplifying freedom? Is that part of your day? And what are you doing? What's your action plan? When it doesn't look good, when an argument comes up, are you the one that's holding peace? Are you the one that's slow to speak and quick to listen? Are you that one? Or are you the one that's holding up the whole conversation and you just coming out nice, nasty? Or are you operating in a spirit of entitlement? You don't know what they did to me or said to me. They cheating on me. They talking bad about me. They cussing at me. They mistreating me. And God says, I still want you to love them. God says, I still want you to be kind to them. God said, I want you to love them like they've never done anything. I want you to treat them better than you treated yourself. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Now, are you willing to do that? That would be the question. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Because that's important to God. He's looking for someone that's going to stand in front of Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Let them go. Let those people go. Let my bloodline go. Let my children go. Let my spouse go. Let me go. And be free from it. I pray that this thing blesses you, stretches you, and encourages you, because God wants you to be free. Scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I'm declaring your freedom over you this morning. Amen. Hey, y'all have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, God loves you. Day by day, situation by situation, we choose to get better. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you for joining me today on the Priest, Prophet, and King podcast. I hope this message has inspired you to understand and walk in your biblical role of a PPK in your family and community. Men, if you need strategies to help you navigate through hard places in your life,
join me Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. for PPK podcast, The Making of a Kingdom Man,
where men from all over the world come to talk strategies with the Word of God being our foundation. You can go to our website, ppkglobal.org, for more information. If you need accountability, training, and mentoring, check out our King's Army, training men to walk in their divine position as heads of the family, God's way. Listen, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. I would love to hear from you, so please leave me a review and send me your thoughts and questions. You can also follow me on Facebook, PPK, Priest, Prophet, and King, IG, PPK Global, Spotify, Apple Music, for more updates and information. I will be back next week with more insight into the recipe of a kingdom man. Until then, remember, day by day, situation by situation, we have to get better. I pray you continue to be blessed in your journey as a priest, prophet, and king. See you next week.